All right, welcome to the second day of the teaching on the law of faith. Last week, I began to talk about the law of faith. And let's take a text of the scriptures to start today's discussion. If you have your Bibles, quickly open to the book of Genesis chapter 12. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. And it says like this, verse 1. It said, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you." Now, please, as I'm reading, I want you to notice a particular progression. Let me just point as I'm going on. God started, called Abraham from a particular point. This was in Haran. And Abraham had left with his father, Terah, from the Ur of the Chaldeans. All right? And here, God now called him personally and told him to continue moving. If you read further down, you will find out that God said, "I was the one that brought you out from the awe of the Chaldeans." Now, there's some reason why I'm explaining this. So now God is talking to him. He now said, "Go forth from your father's house, number one. And number two, you will find a land that I will show you. That's what I want you to have. And in that land, I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great." There's a progression of blessing here. And then he said, "You will be so great," at the end of verse 2, he says, "so that you will be a blessing." He said, "In the process of developing these things, I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." That's the last point. Now, notice this. There were many things. Abraham was somewhere. God was telling him what he wanted to do in his life and was taking him to a progression of the events that he will experience. And then the last of all, he said, "In you, all the families of the earth will be what? Blessed." I wanted to understand a point here. This is where I started from here. And that is the fact that this is where God was actually going. God was interested in making Abraham happy, but that was not the primary goal. God liked the idea that Abraham would become a great nation and he would feel happy and satisfied in being a great nation. God knew that that was a very good thing. Everybody desired that. That is very good. That was just good, all right, as things happened in the path of the ultimate goal of God in the life of Abraham and beyond the life of Abraham. God was saying, in effect, this is actually where I'm going. I want all the families of the earth to be blessed. Are you getting my point? Now, before I explain this further, I want to quickly open to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. All right, you see, there Paul was explaining something here. He said, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men. For not all have faith." Or King James says, "Not all." Is it all men do not have faith? Now, please notice that that's just in passing. I just wanted to note that one in passing. Now, the reason why I'm explaining this is this: God is good. Amen. Now, if you believe that, say very loud, "Amen." Amen. God indeed is good, and God loves to bless. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Now, you see that God, Paul explained at the point, that he made his rain and his sun to shine, the sun to shine and the rain to fall, both upon the godly and the ungodly. That's God for you. He likes to bless people. But Paul said it here, that not everybody has faith. Are you getting the point? And this is what I want you to understand. God, knowing that, therefore, when he wants to bless people, he looks for a few people that have faith, bless the world by the spiritual engineering of those people, and then because they are blessed, everybody else, including those that don't have faith, will become blessed. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, I like to talk about things that are very relevant. Let's take Nigeria as an example, our country, or whichever country you are listening to this from. Now, or whichever situation you are in, everybody likes to complain. Are you getting what I'm saying? Not everybody will stretch themselves and take the challenge to believe God or go into the depths of their inner part and bring out what God has kept in there for the rest of the earth. Not everybody. But if one person does it, all right, they all come there and partake in it. Are you following what I'm saying? So if you say country is bad, country is bad. If one man gets up and with a group of people of like faith, produce great things and create jobs and improve the society, those who grumbled before will also queue up there to partake of the blessing. You are getting the point. Now, I'm trying to explain something here. God knows that. So that's what he meant when he said that in you will the families of the earth be blessed. God doesn't mind. He didn't mind blessing each individual if they came to him directly. You follow? But because they can't, Paul said, not all men have faith. Therefore, they can't get it out of God directly. But they can see a man that has been blessed by God and queue up and take a job from him. God doesn't mind that. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We have established before that the Bible says that the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. Which means that God has great things. Like we said, Jesus told them to pray like this, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. That's what he was saying. That God has a pattern, things that he has designed, kept in heaven. Now, when Moses went up to the mountain with God, God showed him a pattern and told him, go down and create what you saw in the heavens, go and create it on the earth. Are you getting what I'm saying? God had a design in the heaven, but Moses had to build it on the earth. The thing would not appear by itself. You are following what I'm saying? Therefore, he said, thy will be done on earth as it is written or recorded in heaven. So, the things that God wants to do to bless mankind is in heaven. But, if one human being doesn't come and build it on the earth, it will never be done. You are following me? So, I'm trying to explain something here. That is why God looks for men of faith. That's why God looks for women of faith. Somebody who will come to God and bring down something great from the heavens, create it on the earth, then everybody then will be blessed. This appears to me like the most important thing that I always say. See, this earth will never improve by itself. Things don't happen by themselves. People always make them happen. Yes, I know it is God, but I'm explaining that God has to walk through people. Are you getting what I'm saying? And the only people he walks with or through are people of faith. You are following what I'm saying? So with God, the most important thing, that's why you hear Jesus, I said that last week, is always talking about, oh, great faith, little faith, great faith, little faith. Let me explain this to you. Everything extraordinary that will happen on this earth can only be produced by faith. Listen, anybody can have children. All right? The natural order, God has already given a word at the beginning. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. So, dogs conceive. Are you getting me? Dogs, goats, sheep, all right? Cows, horses, fish, they lay eggs. They always multiply. They don't require any faith. In the same manner, an average person, all right, can conceive and have any child. That's not a big deal. Except something goes wrong. Are you following me? However, you will see that every time that God wants to give birth to an unusual child, he first discusses with the parents. What I'm saying, is it not true? Now listen to this. Anytime God wants to bring an unusual child to the earth, he must first of all, as a rule, discuss with the parents. When God was going to bring the descendants of this earth being blessed in somebody, first he had to give it to Isaac. But Isaac was actually not the main thing. Alright? Paul said that seed was Christ. So to bring him through the lineage of Abraham, he had to first call Abraham and start discussing with Abraham. I'm trying to bring out a point here. You will see, when he was going to give birth to Jesus Christ finally, why didn't Mary just wake up one morning and say, I've been feeling funny for the last few months and my period has not been coming. What's going on? What? I don't want one of those things. And then they start seeing her stomach shoot. What is happening? He said, sorry, I know no man. You know that kind of thing. No, God didn't do that. First and foremost, an angel came, appeared, and said, Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. You will bear a child. And she said, what are you talking about? He said, look, don't worry that you don't know any man. He said, the Spirit of God will overshadow you. Now that which will be born will be called the Son of God. And he said that, she now finally said, let it be done to me according to your word. That was faith that could bring Jesus Christ down to the earth. Listen, God had to discuss with Mary. Listen, when he wanted to bring another unusual fellow, John the Baptist, he went to the man. I said it before, that John came by the, look, this is my personal conviction. John came by the faith of Elizabeth, not Zachariah. Zachariah was going to spoil it. But because, you see, Mary wasn't married. That was why God went straight to Mary first. You get the point? But in Elizabeth's case, he went to her husband. I said, oh boy, how far? The guy said, you must be kidding. He said, before you spoil this matter, close your mouth. So, and we're going to talk about it. We're talking about the law of faith. All right? The angel closed his mouth so that he will not, by his mouth, wreck the thing that's about to happen. What am I saying? Before God brings anything extraordinary onto the earth, it must come by faith. So the first thing he does is to discuss with people. And if people don't reach out to God by faith, listen, it will not happen. It's recorded in the heavens. There's no guarantee that it will happen on the earth. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Listen, in every need of a person's life, especially, look, take this childbearing thing in this, in Abraham's case, in Hannah's case, in Elizabeth's case, in Manoah, that's the father of Samson. In everyone, when serious, unusual people were going to be born, he'll first go and discuss with them. Oh boy, we want to give birth to a child. Here, forget. I keep on saying this. Don't think that these people you read about were the only ones that God ever spoke to or sent angels to. Please get this into your mind. Many people he spoke to or sent angels to did not answer the angels, so you never read about them. Do you get my point? There is no proof that Mary was the first choice of God. None. All we know that was the one that accepted. I'm not explaining something. Don't think that whatever God wants to do, he will do it. No. There are things he wants to do. Nobody's agreeing, and he's not doing it. See, I said something, I think it was last week I said it, and now let me say it again. Satan doesn't have power to do anything. The only thing that Satan has as power, all right? That's what the Bible calls he that has the power of death. What it means is that when you have been given over to death and destruction, Satan has now acquired power to afflict you. So when God said to Adam that thorns and thistles it shall beget for you, then Satan had power over the ground. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, Satan doesn't have any serious power of his own to do anything. The only thing Satan does actually, all right, is to persuade people. I don't know what I get what I'm going to say. He will come to Eve. Has God really said, no, don't mind God. God, God wasn't serious there. It's only when Eve has accepted what Satan says that Satan begins to exert influence in her life. What am I trying to say? Listen, Nigeria, Malawi, whichever country we are talking about. Are you getting what I'm saying? There is no real problem in the country. No, listen to this. There is no real problem in your life. Listen to what I'm saying again. There is no real challenge there. What is really happening is that forces are rising up to see the ones you will accept. They are trying to persuade you that nothing for you. If you say nothing for me, that is it. Nothing for you. Satan says, case closed. Let's go to the next guy. Let's go and wreck his life. Listen, we'll see this one as we go on. Because maybe not today, I may not be able to get it today. You will see the issue of the ability to believe, which is what we're talking about, this law of faith. Most of the things that happen in life, what they are doing for people, all right, is crippling their ability to believe God. Are you getting what I'm saying? I said before, every day you hear news. No, that segment of that road must be dangerous. You know what I'm saying? This afternoon I was driving down. There was no problem on the road. Going back home, because I came here earlier in the day, because listen, Mecca and I had to arrange some things. Now, as I was going back, just about an hour ago, less than an hour ago, to go and freshen up before the meeting, I got there and saw one guy taking one very nice car, wrecked a whole street light with it, and killed the car there, and the car is hanging. And I said, Jesus Christ, what's going on here? You know, less than 2 weeks ago, one guy still wrapped a very beautiful car there, died inside it, just on the same road, the same segment of the road. Now, what am I trying to say? You see, when you see things like that every day, at the end of the day, each one is trying to tell you stories. Like you heard me make a statement now, that segment of the road must be dangerous. Now, you see, that's a conclusion somebody came to just by seeing things happen twice in about 2 weeks. Then, you know what Satan is trying to do? There are the different ways to respond to that. Me, when I hear it, all right, the Bible says that only with your eye will you behold. That's what the Bible says. So it's okay, I see it, I pass. All right, none shall come near thee. I confess that. All right, because there's a word that God is giving. I told you before, everything in life is speaking. Everything in life is speaking. Those things are uttering their own statement. What are they trying to do? They are trying to instill fear into the hearts of people, thereby exposing you to the next attack in that same segment of the road. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Now, every young man, a young man will he see all those things and say, this country is really dangerous. Satan say, You see, it's a dangerous country. It's dangerous to you too. He says, it's true. In fact, you know, you can just die anyhow like this. Man, go just die like that. He said, angel of death, mark that guy. Next scene, he commits, kill him. Next thing he commits, finish him. Look, were it not for the mercies of God, listen, people will, oh, Satan will don't kill everybody. Yeah, funny what I'm going to say. These are spiritual principles. These are the work. In the same manner, they say that, look, jobs are hard to find. I told you last week, may God punish you if all you are trying to do in life is to find a job. I know when I say I don't hear the amens. I'm telling you, what are you supposed to do if you have been listening to me? To your dream. Now, everything has stages. There are servants who are servants because they are cursed. There are servants who are servants in training because they have been made for a great place. Paul said it like this, that a hair, when it's yet small, all right, is, does not differ from a servant. Are you getting my point? So the great entrepreneur, the great investor, the great employer of labor, while he's yet small, does not differ from another employee. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? But in his mind, he's a heir of the covenant of God, so he's stepping up to somewhere. So his dream must be that I'm not begging for a job, I'm looking for what? The opportunity. That look, I'm waiting for the opportunity. There's something that God is going to create in my life. That's what I mean by if your desire, I'm not saying don't take a job, but I'm saying what are you dreaming about? If that's all you are dreaming about, you are subject, you are called neither hot nor cold. And you are not my friend. I have never preached to you. May the Lord do to you as he sees fit. And if you don't like that kind of wahala, please don't come back here next time. If you don't like what I have said, that God will deal with you. If you don't enlarge your visions, just don't come and listen to me. Because it's risky. I said it last week. It's very risky. Please listen to the things I'm saying. You know, and follow it very, very closely. Because anytime God wants to give birth to things that are unusual on the earth, he needs people of faith. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, I was saying that Satan, the only thing he tries to do is to persuade people. Is to do what? Persuade people. He uses your experiences that he will tell you that, look, listen, in your whole house, you know, nobody ever had beyond the OND. So what's your problem? Why are you thinking that you can get a degree and have a PhD? And you know, he will sit down, you will lie down and say, see your cousin? The only guy that tried it, you know, that was the day he finally went mental. It's not in your genes. Hi! Then you look at it. So finally, next time they are talking about things that have to do with great accomplishments in the realm of education, you run away. Satan said, that case is closed. Let's look for another life to ruin. How did he do it? He just told you stories of things that happened before. You are following what I'm trying to say? That's what he does. But you know, if you refuse to believe him, now that's another thing. You can't just refuse to say, no, I'm not going to agree. Listen, in life, you make a choice of who to believe. So if you are hearing only one information, you have no choice but to believe that one. I told you that human beings live by faith. Whatever it is, we walk by faith in life. I hope you are getting the point I need to make. You are following what I'm saying here. Now let's get back to something we said last week. You know, we're talking about the law of faith, and I explained, let me emphasize this again, that see, this is what it means when something is a law. What is the law of gravity? In summary, everything that goes up must come down. That's the summary, a simple way to put it. Is that okay? So, once we throw something up, we believe it's going to come down, and it will come down. And the law of faith is like this. Jesus said that if you can believe, everything is possible to him that believes. You read that scripture before? He said, if you can believe. Let's take our text of scripture, the one we read last time, Mark chapter 11. Please, before we leave Genesis chapter 12, don't forget. God's purpose is that in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. In fact, the title of my message for today is called, I call it the holiness of faith. The holiness of faith. This is what I mean. Let's quickly read the way we were before, the book of Mark chapter 11. Let's start from verse 21. Or let's just take a preamble, then I jump down. Jesus cursed the tree, we know, and then when Peter saw that it had withered from the roots up, he turned to him and said, Rabbi, look at the tree that you cursed is dead. In verse 22, Jesus now said, have faith in God. He now used that opportunity to begin to teach them the principle of faith here. He said, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, it's a belief that you have received them and they will be granted you. Now, there's something I want you to understand. Quickly go to Matthew chapter 17. I said this last week. I want to bring it back again. Matthew chapter 17. I want to just use that one to prove my point. I'm going to be reading around verse 20. Let's see where I'll start exactly. Okay, yeah. This was a situation that some people came to, so the disciples of Jesus for healing. A man came to heal his child, all right? He brought his son, and the disciples couldn't heal him. And then Jesus now finally took care of that, and the demon left. In verse 19, the people now came to Jesus and said, that's the disciples, say, why could we not drive it out? Then he now began to teach them again about faith. He said, I just want to read verse 20 to bring out a point here. And he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, that's why you couldn't drive it out. He said, for truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Now, I want to understand something here. He told them that faith is something that you have. Now, I don't know whether you're getting my point. He said, if you have faith, that is, it is possible for somebody not to have it. I'm trying to bring out a point here. See, I said last week that when Jesus said, believe, it was not an instruction, all right? It was not a commandment. It was a condition. In Mark chapter 11, verse 24, he said that, believe that you have received it and you shall have it. What he was saying is that, if you can believe that you have received it, then you will most certainly get it. You can't just make up your mind. That's why a lot of people had a problem with faith. I said last week that there are people who have the works of faith, but they don't have the faith of the works. All right? It's only when works cooperate with faith that results are seen. Now, because a lot of people have preached about faith, and we're going to go along those lines again and explain some things about steps in faith. People think that, okay, just repeat this thing, confess like this, and that's it, it is done. No. The confession must be as a result of having the spirit of faith, like Paul said. Are you getting my point? Now, if somebody has that faith, Jesus said that then to him, nothing that he can believe for will be impossible. Everything that you believe will be possible. Are you getting my point? So that thing was a condition, not a commandment. Jesus was therefore admonishing his disciples that you must build up your faith. I read that Matthew chapter 17 to explain the point that faith is something that you have. So it's either you have it or you don't have it. You don't conjure it up at the last moment when you need to get results. Please, I'm coming to something. I said the title of my message today is what? The holiness of faith. I said something, you know, for about 9 weeks, ending 2 weeks ago, I explained about the pursuit of holiness. Don't forget what I said. I said holiness essentially describes what? Purpose. Purpose. That's what holiness describes. Now, if we are walking in a holy fashion, that is, we have discovered what God wants to do on the earth, and we are doing it with God. And we talked about the threefold purpose of God in life, what he wants to do in your personal life, which we discussed last, then what he wants to do in the body of Christ, this church, through you, and what he wants to do on the earth through you. And today I began to explain that when God wants to bring great things to birth on this earth, he always works with people of faith. You are getting my point. Anybody can have children. But when God wants to bring unusual children, he discusses with the parents. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, anybody can walk to listen, there are countries where company registration is 3 days. All right? You want to register a company in 3 days, it is done. I read all these things in magazines. Where justice is accessible to everybody. Where power never fails. Are you getting what I'm saying? Power never fails. It never fails. Water runs. Just pay your bills. There's no problem. Police takes care of criminals. All right? Anybody can have children under such circumstances. You are getting what I'm saying? You can build any business. You can do anything. But when things are tough, when company registration is 1 year, when you have to use all kinds of ingenuity in your soul to get justice, when you have to provide your own power and your own water, then the child is being difficult to conceive. Are you getting my point? The offspring is hard to bring forth. Because under such circumstances, only men of faith. Are you getting my point? He said, because to them, nothing will be impossible. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know what God is looking for actually? Is the opportunity to create possibilities out of impossibilities. And listen, I'm recruiting for God. Are you getting what I'm saying? My job is to recruit. He says, say to Zion, behold your God. That is my job. I'm recruiting for God. Everybody can hear this and go away and say, oh, good message. Then they just throw it away. But amongst those who are hearing the gospel, there are people who will grab the word and hold it. And you know the interesting part? God is not trying to say, let me see the strong man who can walk. No. So let me see the guy who can believe. And when the fellow has believed, then I will walk in that guy's life. You are getting the point I'm trying to make. So the challenge is to build up your faith. Listen. If you wake up every morning, chase your job, chase your business, chase that's all you are doing, you are not a candidate for what I'm talking about. Listen, your primary commitment must to build up your faith. And listen, faith, the Bible says, comes by hearing. And hearing. We talked about the double hearing some time ago. That's the way it comes. So this woman who wants to bring forth an unusual child, get my point. What God wants to do is to give birth to Isaac from the wombs of 90-year-old women. You are getting my point. That is, the testimony will be that Elizabeth has passed childbearing. Then God will give birth to a John through Elizabeth. He said, but before I can do that, I only work with people of faith. I told him, I'm recruiting for God. I said something earlier, and I've said it many, many, many times. There is nothing in your background that can tell you what your tomorrow will be. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. The only thing is that Satan tries to use it to describe tomorrow to you. So you have your choice to accept it or reject it. Are you following my point? And this is what faith is. Whose report will you accept? Let me put it like that. Isaiah said, who has believed our report? He said, to that person will the arm of the Lord be revealed. It is not to the strong person. No. Are you hearing my point? That this is how God works it. You remember we're talking about the foolishness of preaching? Remember the foolishness of preaching? The foolishness of preaching? We're talking about the pursuit of holiness? We call it the foolishness of preaching. That how will God build? You know, I said something the other time. That when we are talking gospel of Africa, gospel from Africa, I said one day I will put men on the stage. You are getting me? And I will talk and say, okay, so how much did you say you guys dealt in last month? $27 billion. Okay. Now, this guy was telling me that, the networks, you spent how much building it? $15 billion, sir. All right. And you're maintaining it every day with how much? We tell you about $500,000. I said, very, very good. All right. Now, like we explained, you see the principle. Then you turn around, hey, you told me last week that the number of people you've employed has crossed the 100,000 mark. I said, yes, sir. I said, good. Now, these are guys. And yes, sir. That's what they're saying. And they will be watching this from Australia, watching it from North America, watching this in South America. Are you getting my point? But God said, how am I going to produce those in the lives of those people? Nothing. Let them sit and just hear what I'm saying. And then I'll walk in their lives. How is God going to listen to this? He said, how will it happen? Let me tell you how it will happen. Because you see, let me tell you what faith is. Faith is having an understanding of the possible methods by which God will work. Get what I'm going to say. That is, you know that something beyond the physical is there controlling the physical events. That's what faith means. That's why he said without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is. And is actually the one walking in the life of those who is believing him. How will God do it? Let me tell you. Simple. God will create opportunities. Let me explain it simply. I gave an illustration last week. Listen. I said Okocha and Kanu Wanko are not the best players that came out of Nigeria. You will know. Because if they were the best, then the scripture has been defeated. That they said the battle is not to the strong. Are you getting my point? The race is not to the swift. But what happens? I said there must have been people that will be able to tell you the story, that the turning point in the life of Okocha from Nigeria to international football, that day I was absent, that's why it happened. That is, this coach could pick A or pick B. Listen, Solomon said, this is how it happens. Time and chance happens to all men. Time and what? Chance. Believe me, that is why, look. I have said this again and again. I don't believe in accidents. If my car breaks down on the road, first thing I will do is look to my left and look to my right. Peradventure, it has broken down behind it, beside the diamond mine. You get my point? That God wanted to show to me. Then I say, good Lord, what is going on here? Why am I stranded at this particular point? Are you getting my point? Listen, that's why you must every day walk in the mercy of God. Because there's a reason why I'm saying this. It is important that your life is not directed by iniquity. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. It is important that judgment for sin is not controlling your life. If you are walking in God's favor, listen, there is nobody on earth. I've read a lot. Listen, I've read Bible. I've read teachings on the Bible. I've read teachings on, there's analysis of teachings of the Bible, you know. People will write books on what E.W. Kenyon said about the word of God. Are you getting me? I've read all kinds of things. And I now one day, a few years ago, began to read books of secular people, you know, Paul Getty, you know, Robert Kiyosaki, all kinds of things. In everyone, each person has pointed to moments of favor. Are you getting what I'm saying? These men who have made it, physically speaking, each one pointed to moments of favor without which they would have died. When time and chance happened to them, and, you know, there's this one I told you I read recently, the richest man in Babylon. The man explained some things that, how did he become very wealthy? He wanted to be wealthy, and he began to labor for it, all right? But the thing that really made him wealthy was that a very wealthy man who was teaching him the principles of business noticed his quest for wealth. You get my point? And saw how he was progressing in learning. So one day he hired him to come and manage his businesses for him, a segment of his businesses, because his own children were not responsible people. Are you getting me? And when the man died, he left a huge chunk of his estate to this young boy. Listen, the guy became very wealthy. But what really broke him into wealth was favor from a man who went before him. Do you get what I'm saying? Why am I explaining all of these things? I am not saying, listen, the Bible said that strangers will build up your walls. Oh my God. You're not hearing me. That is strangers, people you did not know. I said, look, God, the scripture that guided me, that put my mind at rest concerning material things, which makes me never run to and fro like Satan chasing anything. You know what I mean by Satan? From where have you come? From running to and fro. It's because God said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards like a river. And what's the next line? The wealth of who? The wealth of who? The nations. It's not a matter of struggle. I read from the scriptures. We talked about that when we said that Esau saved Jacob. There are people who don't. Bible says there are those that God has given their responsibility to labor, that he might give to those who are pleasing. He didn't say to give to preachers. Anyone who is pleasing in God's sight. Do you know, I was reading that book I told you about, one American billionaire I was reading. He made I finished reading the book, you know, yesterday. And there was something he said that I finally bought my own private jet. And this is the interesting part. I want to use that story to tell you what it means for others to labor, to give to you. This guy is a billionaire now. Then he was a multimillionaire. He had a lot of money. But he's a man who doesn't spend money anyhow. That's why one of the reasons why I had a lot of it. So he wanted to buy a private jet, and he saw a Boeing 727. He was reading in the papers about a particular company that was distressed, but the executives were very responsible and they were living lavishly. And they had changed the management, so he knew that. Now in that company, they bought a 727. All right? Now, this plane can seat 200 people. Are you getting the point? But they converted it so that he sat only 15. To let you know the amount of luxury they put into it. They had bedrooms, you know, everything was in there. The plane could only take 15. Meanwhile, the commercial version seats 200. And a brand new one was being sold for $30 million. When I read that part, I called my wife and said, how much is 30 million in Naira again? The man said, when he read it, after I read about the company, he knew that this plane will be up for sale. So he called the new MD of the company, the new president, and said, how are you guys doing? I think he said, I'm just wondering whether that plane is not up for sale. Of course. The guy said, yes. One of the first things I want to do as a new man in charge is to get rid of that piece of luxury. We don't need it. He said, fine. How much do you want for it? The guy said, how much are you offering? The guy said, look, typically, I go low on such things. They want to sell it. So he offered, now, a plane that's brand new, $30 million, he offered them $5 million. The man said, no, that's too low. Finally, he said in his mind. So the guy just said, okay, is it 12? He said to himself that no matter how this turns out, I've gotten a good deal. He finally bought it for $8 million. Are you seeing what I'm saying? That company, they labored for him and essentially dashed him 20-something million US dollars. He said, whether I need the plane or not is irrelevant. I never let a good deal pass me by. Yeah, you can call it luxury. He said, my God, this is a good deal. Now, that's how strangers build up your walls. You are getting my point. I'm saying these things to let you know that God said, listen, there are things I have kept I want to convert into the hands of people. Banking recruits people for me. Are you hearing me? I am not saying be smart. I am not saying work hard. I'm not saying rise up early. It's vain, the Bible says, to wake up too early. It's a bad thing. I don't care the gospel you want to preach. Anything more than praying all night, you know, like Jesus will pray all night to recoup some spiritual energy. Eh? Apart from that, please, it's a waste of time. There's no business you are doing. Are you following what I'm saying? God said, what am I asking you to do? Believe. I told you before, you know, when I say this is in person, don't ever forget it. They are important. I gave you an assignment. I said every night, lie down and dream stupid dreams. You know what I mean by stupid dreams? Things that greatest men, physically speaking, Nigeria right now, have never conceived. Settle down and dream it. Look, I'm a preacher, so I've given myself assignment. Anytime I watch TV now, as they are showing a preacher, I'm checking how the angle they shot him from, the auditorium they are shooting. That's what I'm thinking about. Even if you are talking nonsense, I'm looking at your pulpit. What does it look like? You getting me? I want to see how I'm going to do my own things differently. You know? Recently, I confirmed again that TBN spends $600,000 on a daily basis to keep TBN in the air. Did you hear what I said? $600,000 daily. Daily. To keep TBN on the air. Daily. On a daily basis. 600. That is, in 2 days, $1.2 million is dead. When I say things like that, I say, good. Great dreams. God didn't say, look for how you raise money. He never said, look at how you raise money. He said, only believe. You get what I'm saying? Only believe. Nothing will be impossible to that fellow who believes. Listen, God doesn't do extraordinary things. If you see people saying that things work here, I told you that anybody can achieve. Goats get pregnant. You know, goats don't intercede. They don't pray. Okay, maybe the owner is praying. What about the antelope in the bush? And they're born regularly, per se, they know they waste time. Because God has said, be fruitful and multiply. I'm saying that when difficult situations come up, when you have to conceive children in the midst of barrenness, God said, we don't do such things lightly. You must first hear a word. And the child that will be born must be an unusual child. Do you get the point I'm making? Therefore, if an unusual situation is going to be overcome, you follow what I'm saying? So that great and unusual things might come out of it, then it's only open to those who are of faith, not to those of learning. The greatest industries in Nigeria will be built by those who never went to Harvard anything. Let me explain. It's crucial to God. If I say this, it might sound funny, but I should say it. It came to my mind. I believe the Spirit of God. There are people that opportunity to go to Harvard will open, reject it. I'm not saying everybody. There are certain people. If I'm talking to you, we know it. God goes, hey, if you take it, there's certain. I need to make a point, which I can't make from Harvard. Now, that's not for everybody, because that's like a Riemann word. You get my point? It doesn't apply in every situation. But there are people that God says, listen, I need to make a point. I can't make it if you have your MBA from Harvard. That is a natural advantage. We spoil things for me there. You are getting the point I'm making. You see, he said it had to be by faith that he might be in accordance with grace. There are things that God will reject, will refuse to do until it is clear that it is by faith. Look, we've been discussing Abraham on Mondays. Abraham, God called him, not knowing much. Then God began to train him in faith. We've explained that one. Last Monday, I began to speak because I told myself, this is a Saturday message. We are talking about one of the laws of faith. Because we're talking about the law of faith. Alright? Inside there are many principles. One of the things that God used to teach Abraham It's very good. In fact, let's. I think it's a good time to look at that. Quickly, let's get back to Genesis. A very good time to look at that. After Lot separated from Abraham, Genesis chapter 13, from verse 14, said, the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot has separated from him, he said, now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, I will give it to you and to your descendants forever. He said, I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can also be numbered. He said, arise, walk about the land through its length and breadth, for I will give it to you. Now, I want you to understand something here. I told you before that God, we read it when we started, that God had his, he was going somewhere in the life of Abraham. And he said that, where are we going? In you, all the nations of the earth, the families of this earth, they will be blessed. He said, that's how much blessedness I will pour inside you. Are you getting me? Now, but that's a statement of intent. It's a statement of intent. You haven't really committed to anything. You have just said what you want to do. Are you getting me? Now, what am I trying to say? God had described to Abraham what he wanted to do. What he was saying is, walk before me and be perfect. Then we will get there. If you don't walk with me, if you don't follow my instructions, we can't get there. Let me say this thing again. No. There is no proof that God only said that to Abraham. He probably said it to one or two or three people before him. Are you getting me? And they did not hear it. You know, I said something when we were discussing. If you have not been coming for a school of my Bible exegesis on Mondays, you did miss more, all right? Those of us who have been around, you know, we learn some things. One of the things I said then is that the record you find in the book of Genesis, Paul said that to them was committed the oracles of God. Now you see, the record in the book of Genesis were written to get to Abraham. From Genesis 1 to 12, everything that was being recorded was drawing the line down to Abraham. Everything. If it was far removed from Abraham, nothing much was said about it. Do you understand what I'm going to say? The fact that God gives somebody a statement of intent doesn't mean that God will carry it out, except the person agrees to work with God. That's the point I'm making from all this I'm saying. And that the reason why you read about Abraham is because he agreed to work with God. God probably called somebody else before that, and the person just died. Maybe it was Terah God called first, and Terah just killed him in Haran and left and called him one of his children.